chapter 22, where I left off last Thursday. So Genesis chapter 22, if we will. And we're going to begin reading. We'll read again. We'll read from verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, and behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to be this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young man, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, Behold, Milcah, she hath also borne children unto thy brother Nahor, Huz his firstborn, and Buz his brother, and Kemuel the father of Aram, and Chesed, and Hazel, and Tildash, and Jiphath, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begat Rebekah. These eight Milcah did bear to Nahor, Abraham's brother, and his concubine, whose name was Ruma, she bare also Teba, and Gaham, and Tahash, and Maacah. And may the Lord bless the reading of the word. Now we left off at verse 6, and most interesting we see that in verse 6 there's the mention of the fire and the wood. But there is no knife that is mentioned. And that's significant as far as I'm concerned, because it was Isaac who was to carry the wood, as it is the Lord Jesus Christ carried the cross. But Abraham, he carried the knife because of the fact that the father does the brings the judgment, and but the whole act was going to be voluntarily. done. And because it was going to be voluntarily, there's no knife that is mentioned. Now the next verse, when you're witnessing to Jewish people, is a very interesting verse because it's a verse that they hate. They don't like it when you bring it up. I've talked to many Jews, and when you bring up this verse here, that it says, verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. They don't like that verse, that God will provide himself a lamb. And the reason that they don't like it is because man could do nothing for of himself. The sacrifice was by God and for God to declare his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. It does not say God himself will provide a lamb, but it says God will provide himself a lamb. And so we find that together in that verse, they went up the mountain. Now that's an interesting word too, together. Both of them, although the emphasis has been on the Father, as we noticed last week, yet together they are going up the mountain, the Father and the Son. But it's here now that the type changes. And Isaac, after this, is not a picture of the Lord Jesus as he speaks to us just as ourselves. Because what do we find? That the Father binds him. The Father is binding him. He's absolutely helpless. He's in the place of death. And just like he is in the place of death, so it is with us. Each and every one of us are helpless. We can do nothing to save ourselves. And here is where Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8 comes out. And I'm going to just read that for us, because Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8 says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. And so here is where the gospel was preached to Abraham. And yes, he is the father of all those that believe, and he had the gospel preached to him very clearly, as we see Isaac here helpless in this place of death, because, again, we find that God called out from heaven, and when he did, he said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad. Now, the next phrase that I want you to pick up in this chapter is the phrase there that he lifted up his eyes in verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes. That is the second time that phrase is found in this chapter. The first time, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and we find that in verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And I would like to say he saw the place. And then in this verse, he sees the ram. Now, my friends, so it is when we're talking about worship, which we talked about last week. You and I may see the place. It could be. that you could see the place, and you're convinced that it's the place where God wants you to worship at the Lord's Supper, where it says, "This do in remembrance of me." It was his dying request. Now, you might see the place, but what a shame it would be if you don't see the person. In this case, Abraham saw the ram, but we see the person. And if we come to the Lord's Supper to remember him as he's asked us to do, then we need to be focused on him and see the person. That's what we've come for. And also, it's most interesting to notice that this ram was caught by the horns. Now, the horns speak of the power, and we find that it was a good thing that the ram was caught by the horns. If that ram was caught any other way, it would not have been a good sacrifice. If it was caught by the legs, or if it was caught by the side, it would have a blemish in it. But how wonderful it is that it was caught by the horns, and so there was no blemish at all there. And so we find that here we got that thought that they see the place and they see the ram. Now, we have that verse over in Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm going to read that for you. Hebrews chapter 11. And starting with verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Now, you might even question that, why it's referred to Isaac as the only begotten son, because most all of you know that he had several sons. But it's the only begotten son because it's the only son of promise. Yes, it's the only son of the promise, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Yes, Abraham, he had strong faith. He realized that if the son was to be killed and was to be offered, yes, God was going to raise him up. And it also is interesting to notice that the resurrection took place on the third day. And so it was the third day, too, for Isaac, that he was raised up off of that altar. He didn't die, but again, it carries through in the type. And so that's interesting to pick out. Now, it's going back to the phrase, Abraham, Abraham, that is the tenth time. The tenth time in Scripture that you will see names duplicated. And this is the tenth name duplicated. There's seven that are given to man. Maybe we can name a few. Moses, okay, that's in Exodus. Samuel. Who? Samuel, that's good. That's two. Martha, that's three. Somebody else besides Tim? What else do we have as a double calling of names? Double calling of names. I can't hear you. Saul, okay, that's one. Mm-hmm. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Another. Well, Jacob is the next one after Abraham. That's found in Genesis chapter 46 and verse 2. And then you mentioned Moses and Samuel, Martha, Simeon, okay, mentioned in Luke 22 and verse 31. Simeon? I meant to say Simon, not Simeon. Okay, Simon, Peter. And so then we have the other three are mentioned in, one is mentioned in Matthew, Lord, Lord. People are going to give the double name of the Lord. And we have that in Matthew chapter 7. And then we have Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them. And then the other one is Eli, Eli, Lama Sabathani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? So those are the 10 different names that you have, and it makes for a nice study. I gave lessons on that at one time. And so that's a good one to take in mind, those verses. Abraham was positive that the Lord was going to raise him up again. And as we see that, it's also interesting that when we come to verse 19 of this chapter, so Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Now, you've heard me say before, there is no mention of Isaac coming down out of the mountain. That's most interesting, because that also, what we have here, we've had the crucifixion, we've had the resurrection, and we also have the ascension, which is inferred, because he is gone up, but he doesn't come down. We know he did come down. Now, the last time that the world saw the Lord Jesus is when they got a picture or an idea of him on the cross. Everyone knows that the Lord Jesus died. That's true, that everybody knows that. And so that's the last time that they got that picture. But the next time the world is going to know is going to be at the rapture. They're not going to go up, but when the Lord returns, they'll know that the event took place. How they're going to explain it away, it's very difficult for me to say. I don't know, but they'll explain it some way, that rapture when it takes place. Now also a double word that's mentioned here, or twice rather, a word that's mentioned twice, is in verse 16 and verse 18 is the word because. And because it says that Abraham did it and obeyed his voice in verse 18 and in verse 16, he says, because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, then the Lord is giving him a blessing. And what a tremendous blessing the Lord is going to bless him with. I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and the seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Now another thing, just to close up this section, what I wanted to do last Thursday, and so that is that the last words that the Lord spoke to Abraham is great to notice. His last words, "Thou hast obeyed my voice." My, that's a great ending, I think. There's no more words that the Lord spoke to Abraham. No, those are his last words. Makes me think of that verse, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Yes. And the Lord is saying, "Thou hast obeyed my voice." And may it be that the Lord can say that to us in the end of our life, that we have obeyed his voice. Now, where I want to start tonight, and we're just going to go as far as we can go, is in another thought about worship. And that is where I want to take you, is that we've talked about that salvation is something that's received by us. It's a free gift from God. But worship is something we present, something that's presented by us to God. Salvation is something we receive. Worship is something that's presented. And I would like to look for an instance of that, of the Israelites who are described in Deuteronomy chapter 26. So we'll turn there and spend our next few minutes in Deuteronomy 26. "And it shall be, when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possesseth it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak and say, Before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt, and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us, and afflicted us, and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice, and looked on our affliction, and our labor, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, and with signs, and with wonders. And he hath brought us into this place, and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee, and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you." And the first thing that we're going to notice is this, that a worshiper is one who has experienced what it is to be redeemed by the blood and by power. And we can see that in verses 5 through 8. He has been redeemed. He was about ready to perish. Now, let's look at Ephesians. Just keep your fingers there for a minute, and I'm going to read a verse over in Ephesians where it says in Ephesians chapter 1, 18 and 19, where we can liken this unto ourselves. I don't want Ephesians. I want 1 Peter. I'm sorry about that. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Notice verse 5 of chapter 2. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, the Israelites had been redeemed. Yes, they came through the Red Sea. They were redeemed. And what a tremendous thing it is that a person, when they're coming there, they come and say, Assyrian, ready to perish. Why would they say, Assyrian, ready to perish? Why? Yeah, Jim? The
famine was in the land
that caused them to go down to Egypt? All right. They were there, first of all, in Syria, right? And how did they get there? How did they get there? Why did the children of Israel go there? Yeah, right. Okay. Now, Jacob, remember, was going to kill his brother. And because of fear of his brother, we find that that's what they did. They fled, and he went to Syria. Okay, now let's look at a verse in Hosea. I'll just read it for sake of time. Hosea chapter 12 and verse 12, which says, And Jacob fled into the country of Syria, and Israel served for a wife, and for a wife he kept sheep. So he fled there because of the fear of his brother Jacob. So we find that he was there, but now he is saying that, and he is coming now as a worshiper because he has experienced what it means to be redeemed. Now, not only is he a worshiper that way, but he is a worshiper, is viewed as having an inheritance in the land. Now, that is really terrific when you see that, because they're typically getting material and things because they're in the land, but that applies to us as well, spiritually, because we are also enjoying an inheritance. And that's what we need to see, that in Christ we're already seated with him, as it says in Ephesians. Now, that's where I want to go, is Ephesians. For this, Ephesians chapter 2, and the verse is verse 6. Notice this in verse 6. And have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And we have obtained it. We have got it. It's something that we are with him in Christ. All these things, as we have found also, as we're going to go along here, that we already are there. Now, notice too that the worshiper is one who God has blessed, whom God had blessed. Theirs was temporal and material, but ours is eternal and spiritual. Look at chapter 1 of Ephesians and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We have it in heavenly places in Christ. And three times over in this book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 6, notice this: to the praise of the glory of his grace. All right, now look at verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory. And that's verse 12. And then verse 14, unto, in the last part of the verse, unto the praise of his glory. So the first part of that, to the praise of his glory, it's because of the Father who planned it. The Father planned it, this whole thing, who hath made us accept it in the Beloved. That's the part of the Father. But verse 12 is the part of the Son, that we should be to the praise of his glory, just as Paul and the early Christians who first trusted in Christ. And it was the Son that provided it. But when you get to verse 14, it's the Holy Spirit that empowers it, which is the earnest of our inheritance. If you go back to verse 13, in whom we also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I just thought that was very neat, that the three times to the praise of his glory. And so the worshiper, when he comes to the worship service, he's not coming to be blessed. It's because he has been blessed that he comes. It's because that we have been blessed that we come. And every believer really can truly say, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow to it. What a tremendous thing it is to know that. Now, I'll just end with one more thought here, and that is that we have here the worshiper is seen to be a grateful person. He first of all gathers the fruit. Then secondly, he puts them into a basket. Now, when he gathers them, the fruit, he's going to gather the choice fruit. If you're coming and giving a basket of fruit to a person that you love, and that's who we love, is the Lord, you're going to pick choice fruit, and then you're going to put it in the basket. And you're not going to stand here and let the basket down there and throw it in. No, you're going to arrange it. Now, I remember when I spoke about this for the worship to the young people at camp a number of years ago. It's got to be a good 30 years ago. But I remember I said, what is the next thing that you do? And one of the fellows spoke up and you said, then you eat it. Well, you could tell that he's not have never been in love. He didn't understand that the next thing that you do is you give it. You bring it. And so it is with us. We need to take time. Now, it takes time to gather the fruit. It also will take a little time to place it in the basket. And, you know, many times there's people who come to the worship service that we have, and they have the gimmies. They're always just, that's all they can think about is what the Lord's going to give them. But that's not what it's about. It's the fact that the Father is seeking such to worship Him. And in Exodus chapter 23, it says that none shall appear before Him empty. We're not to appear before Him empty. We're to come and to give. Exodus 23 and verse 15. And so sometimes we can come to our worship service and there can be long periods of silence. That doesn't mean that it's spiritual worship and adoration. No, it just means that there's spiritual poverty. And now I want to say this, that the Lord's Supper, when we come to take of the emblems, does not have to be an hour long. It doesn't have to be. We have no scripture to give us that. In fact, it doesn't have to be run exactly the way we do it here. But I do want to say this. If you notice that when they come, they're coming to the place of His choice. Now, Christendom out there today is telling you it doesn't make any difference where you go. Oh, yes, it does, my friends. If you're a born-again believer, then it makes a big difference that we come to the place of His choice. It's not our choice. I like Deuteronomy chapter 12 in that, because in Deuteronomy chapter 12, it's repeated several times, at the place of His choice. At the place of His choice, that they should come. And so we also come to the place where it is said in Scripture, this do in remembrance of me. Now, we could come, and as I say, it could just be a short time to do that, but I'm thankful that we have an hour. You don't need to. You could just come, and maybe you heard me say this before. If you're over in the Philippines and you're going to the Lord's Supper, you want to arrive on time, you know, because in the first 10 minutes, they have passed the emblems. That's what they came to do. That's what they do over there. Now, that's perfect. And they still have an hour service. I like that verse also that we have in the Word of God, that when the hour was come, they sat down. Now, I'm glad Jim knows that verse. It would be a good thing for all of us to know that verse. That when the hour has come, they sit down. They're there on time. In other words, you're coming into the presence of the Holy God. And so I'm going to end it right there because my time is gone. But there again, there's lots there that we could say about worship, but we haven't gotten through that portion. Okay. Now, we're having a celebration, And so since we're having this, perhaps, dear, do you want, Ruth, do you want to play the piano? And we'll have a good, happy birthday. Okay, I think we ought to do that. They told me to give thanks for the refreshments, but I think we need to sing. Mrs. Palmer, how old are you in the Lord? I didn't hear her. Oh, all right. So she's even, that's what I figured, she'd probably be older than many people even that way. So for 97, we're going to sing. And if I remember correctly, didn't you say one time that it was Mr. Hathaway with the gospel bus that came through that that spoke to you? George Hathaway? No, I mean, but that was what spoke to you, I mean. Okay, all right. I thought I heard her say that one time about George Hathaway. Probably there's not too many here that remember George Hathaway with the gospel bus. I remember that, and that came through. And there might be a few other people. Eileen, do you remember? Yeah, I knew you would. You're old enough. Yeah, okay, all right, okay. All right, we're ready to sing Happy Birthday to Mrs. Palmer, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Happy, oh. Well, we'll sing the standard first. We'll sing the one from the chapel, and then we'll sing the other. Okay.